ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 11, entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Text 7. Shri Balir Uvacha Sangrame Vartamananam संग्रामे वर्तमानानां कालचोदितकर्मणां कीर्तिर्जयो जयो मृत्युः सर्वेषां स्युरनुक्रमा Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj replied, "All those present on this battlefield are certainly under the influence of eternal time. And according to their prescribed activities, they are destined to receive fame, victory, defeat, and death, one after another." Purport. If one is victorious on the battlefield, he becomes famous. And if one is not victorious, but is defeated, he may die. Both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Everything takes place according to the laws of nature. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashah. Since everyone, without exception, is subject to the boards of material nature, whether one is victorious or defeated, he is not independent, but is under the control of material nature. Bali Maharaj, therefore, was very sensible. He knew that the fighting was arranged by eternal time and that under time's influence, one must accept the result of one's own activities. Therefore, even though Indra threatened that he would now kill Bali Maharaj by releasing the thunderbolt, Bali Maharaj was not at all afraid. This is the spirit of a Kshatriya. Yuddhe chapi apalayanam. Bhagavad Gita 18:43. A Kshatriya must be tolerant in all circumstances, especially on the battlefield. Thus Bali Maharaj asserted that he was not at all afraid of death, although he was threatened by such a great personality as the King of Heaven. Today is the appearance day of Shripad Madhvacharya. Many years ago, one of the senior sannyasis of the Pejavar Math had come to our temple, and sitting on this very asan, he had briefly spoken about Madhvacharya, about his amazing childhood activities, where, like any other powerful acharyas, he demonstrated the divine powers and divinity in his very early stages of life. And he was mentioning how one time, how the Udupi Krishna, which he established, how that deity came to be. He said how one time, as he was on the shore of the ocean, Madhvacharya, taken sannyas at that time, there was a ship on the sea, which was, because of the storm, was about to drown. And Madhvacharya, as we know, he is the incarnation of Vayu, Amsha of Vayu. Like Hanuman, Bhima. He just took out his chadar and waved. Some say by his wave he created another storm which counteracted and stopped the storm. And some say he just guided through his direction that the ship could come safely to the shore. And captain or the owner of the ship was a businessman coming from Dwarka, going to some other place. He was very much obliged and asked Madhvacharya how he could reciprocate with his help. And Madhvacharya said, you're coming from Dwarka, you have some Gopi Chand. I don't have, but I have a big lump of mud that I kept on one side of the boat just to balance. I had all my goods on one side. The boat was getting imbalanced. Therefore, since I was in Dwarka, I just put a big lump of clay and just put it on one side. So that is lying there. Madhvacharya said, I want that. And he brought it. And right in front of him, it just opened to reveal Udupi Krishna, which is actually worshipped by Rohini. She wanted to see Lord Krishna's childhood pastime. And after seeing that, she was so attached. Devaki also wanted to worship. And so Lord manifested that form. That was worship. And after the pastime were wound up in Dwarka, this deity was actually in that Gopi Talav. From there it got manifested. The point he was making was that this beautiful pastime is also very symbolic. He was telling how the great acharyas who have renounced this world, the saffron indicates renunciation, who have completely renounced this world, knowing it to be ephemeral, are only living to serve the Lord and His mission. And our situation is like the boat on the ocean of the birth and death, samsara sagara. We are all drowning in the ocean of birth and death. But the great acharyas and their direction left by the scriptures and their instructions can actually help us guide, cross over the ocean. And not only that, what we think as insignificant lump of clay, this body, which is actually valueless from our point of view, they reveal Lord Krishna within our own selves and make us realize this is not just an ordinary lump of clay, earth, water, fire, air, ether, but within resides the Supreme Lord, your worshipable Lord, kindly worship. So, as Prabhupada writes here, all these wonderful pastimes, while they have actually happened, also represent, these are eternal pastimes of the Lord. Not only have they occurred, but they are eternally happening on different realms. So Prabhupada writes one very interesting statement. Both victory and defeat are possible, whether on such a battlefield as this or on the battlefield of the struggle for existence. Actually, as we are peacefully sitting here, we are all in a battle. Battle against time. Struggle to become happy. Struggle against old age, disease, eventually death, as Bali Maharaj says here. And if we take shelter of our own mind and intelligence or any other product of material energy, whether victory or defeat, whether fame or infamy, it is all defeat in the ultimate issue. But if we utilize this human form of life by actually surrendering to the Lord and the instructions left by his devotees, then fame or infamy, happiness or distress, heat or cold, honor or dishonor, in the end, it is actually victory. Whether it is victory, like Hanumanji, or Dhruva Maharaj, who stepped over death and just royally went back home, back to Godhead at the end, victorious over death, or defeat, like Jatayu, like Vritrasura, from a material point of view, they were both victorious. Everyone who took shelter of the Lord eventually was victorious over all of these material dualities. So therefore, this whole Leela, actually it runs chapter after chapter after chapter. But very interestingly, right at the beginning of this chapter, the Lord to Brahma and the other demigods, in 8 verses, gave a fast-forward show of this whole Leela and gave the result also. Match fixing. This match is fixed. I know who's going to score what. And I'll tell you the result. It's amazing. In spite of knowing the result, still sometimes Indra becomes morose, sometimes he becomes victorious and happy, sometimes he becomes tremendous anxiety. And though not knowing all of this, Bali Maharaj is very tolerant, sober, and instructing, just like Vritrasura, another Mahajan here, instructing his associates and Indra, you go on with your duty, I go on with my duty, Krishna will do his duty. Peacefully, let's go on. Sometimes I'm going to be victorious, sometimes I'm going to be defeated, sometimes old age, death. Let whatever has to happen, happen. Let's stick to our business. So I would like to just briefly review those 8 verses. Somehow, His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu was speaking this particular section. He happened to speak on one of the verses. And after hearing that, I was inspired to go back and do a little bit of philosophical speculation. Mental speculation is not allowed. Philosophical speculation is allowed. Krishna, Prabhupada says in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, first verse, purport. Anyway, I have the Gita here. I ought to read it. This is the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. And in the first chapter, the first verse, purport, Prabhupada writes, if one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. So I was wondering, what is philosophical speculation? We're not supposed to speculate. Prabhupada blasts mental speculation. But here he's encouraging us to philosophical speculation. So I asked one very senior sannyasi once, I think it was Devamrita Swami, He said, what is the difference between, and also Shamanand Prabhu was telling me about, Hridayanand Maharaj telling about this once. So what is the difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation? Mental speculation is when you read the scriptures and you do your own speculation and come to a wrong conclusion, which is not what is the scripture is meant for. Nana Shastra Vicharanai Kanipuno Saddharma Samsthapakau. The great Acharyas wrote the commentary of these scriptures, but never gave several examples, analogies, etc. But the conclusion was never lost. Siddhanta. Apasiddhanta dvanta harine. See, no? Bhaktisiddhanta siddhanta. Rupanuga viruddha apasiddhanta dvanta harine. No wrong conclusion. No wrong conclusion through speculation. That is mental speculation. But philosophical speculation is when that, like for example, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. We accept Krishna as the taste of water. But we think, how? That is philosophical speculation. But if you say, why Krishna is, that is mental speculation. So, we were discussing and did some philosophical speculation. Of course, it is confirmed in other places also of Shastras. So please, Krishna is telling, Sukadeva Goswami is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, you know, this whole pastime happened because Indra offended Durvas Muni when he offered him a garland, he crushed it. He was cursed by Durvas Muni to lose everything because the cause for your pride, if that is taken away, it's like the cause for the bulging of a tire is too much air. If the air is taken away, automatically it becomes flat. So the cause for your being puffed up is too much of respect because of material wealth, honor, distinction, etc. Let me see that you lose all of this so that your feet will be on the ground. And exactly same thing happened. That is the time. Kalena and Kavyena, by the influence of time, which was favoring the demigods, demons, and also by pleasing Shukracharya, a Brahmana, they were empowered. So the demigods were totally defeated. Most of the time it takes us that situation to actually become serious, unfortunately, in our devotional service. Unless we come to that point of humiliation and like falling flat on the ground forcefully, somebody has to hold us there through the force of time, then we become humble. Very unfortunate. Proactively, if we do it, very nice. But generally, because of millions of lifetimes conditioning, we don't want to do that. So, Krishna lovingly arranges. Tangadi lagana. We're walking like this and suddenly someone keeps a feet, fall flat on the nose straight and then sober down. So they actually lost everything. And that time, suddenly they came together and started discussing what to do to get back our natural glory. And then they started intensely praying to Lord Vishnu. The Lord has appeared. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Lord Brahma, O Shiva and other demigods, please hear me with great attention. For what I say will bring good fortune for all of you. This applies to us also. Please hear with great attention. For what I say, I'm going to repeat Krishna's words, will bring good fortune for all of you. As long as you are not flourishing, some may be, some may not be right now. But eventually, there are two sides of the coin. You can't taste one without experiencing the other. You can't relish one without experiencing the other. Unless there is darkness, you can't appreciate light. Unless there is heat in the summer, you can't appreciate cold water. Unless there is cold in the winter, you can't appreciate hot water. So therefore, these dualities are beautifully made. As long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. So there are these two kinds of living entities. Krishna says in the 9th chapter, the Mahatmas and the Duratmas. Who is a Duratma? Not just the demon, not by birth. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mam bhuta. One who minimizes the position of the Lord, or one who thinks himself little greater than what he actually is, insignificant. Even if he thinks little of significance, that is a duratma. That atma is dura. Dura means, you know, contaminated a little. Mahatma. Who is Mahatma? Who is connected to the Mahan Atma? That is Krishna. Paramatma. He is the Mahan Atma. Who is always in touch. So, what is the result of a Duratma? Moghasha, Mogha Karmano, Mogha Jnana. All their hopes will be baffled for victory, for fame. Mogha Karmano, all their endeavors for which they are striving to become happy will be baffled eventually. And Mogha Jnana, all their knowledge, so-called knowledge, by which they think they can actually manipulate, control, and enjoy material nature, eventually they realize it is controlling them, material nature and time. We try to control time and nature to become the Lord and Master. Mogha Jnana, Vichetasaha, bewildered, Rakshasim, Asurim, Chaiva, Prakritim, Mohinim, Shita. So all of us are Duratmas or Asuras or Daityas to the extent we do not have connection with the Lord and identify ourselves with any of these things. It doesn't mean you have to have a horn on the head and teeth protruding out of eating cannibals or that, eating human beings to become Asuras. As I think Shakespeare says, you can smile and smile and smile and yet be a villain. You can be the most refined and, you know, person who is externally absolutely ideal. You can be a most demoniac person. And you can be externally born in a demoniac family like Vritrasu, the most misunderstood person in the whole history. And still be a Mahatma. So, and Mahatmanastumam par daivim prakritim ashrita. They have taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, energy of the Lord. Bhajanti ananya manaso. Ananya. Anya means elsewhere. Bhajanti ananya manaso. They worship the Lord with ananya bhakti. Why? Knowing Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. Knowing Him to be eternal and full of potency. So anyway, so they are now telling, as long as you are not flourishing, you should make a truce with the demons and asuras who are now being favored by time. O demigods, fulfilling one's own interest is so important that one may even have to make a truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse. So, to fulfill one's own interest, self-interest, you can actually even make a truce with your enemy. We will discuss that later. Who is our enemy? Who is our enemy in our battle in this struggle for existence? The greatest enemy is within. The mind. And the biggest battle every day is when we sit down to control the mind by chanting the holy name. It has its own agenda. It's in its own desires. And we have our own self-interest. After hearing from the Bhagavatam, at least theoretically you have your own, some other self-interest. Nate vidu swarthagatim hi vishnum. Actually, we all should be selfish. Everyone should be very selfish. But before becoming selfish, you should know what the self is. If you are the body, then selfishness means how I can get things for the body. But if you are not the body, you are the soul, then the self-interest is connecting with the Lord, the real friend, Sahridam Sarvabhutanam. So, we have to make friendship with the mind. If you want, beat the mind with broomstick or shoes 100 times in the morning and evening, or fall at the feet of the mind, like Raghunath Das Goswami, pray to the mind, oh foolish mind. You will also be benefited in the end, Baba. Just sit with me for 1.5 hours. Afterwards, I'll pacify all your desires. Not now, please. Let us both sit together and let us do something beneficial for both of us. Your mind is, you are not your mind. Mind is a mind. Your interest is actually misguided. You do not know what is your real interest. We can preach to the mind, beg the mind, follow the feet of the mind, beat the mind, do whatever is necessary, but make a truce. Eventually, the mind thinks, 1.5 hours I am going to make a truce, but 22.5 hours, I will be the winner. But you know, I will tell him just 1.5 hours. But this 1.5 hours will never end. Because Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because after this 1.5 hours, the mind will get little more taste and it wants to do a little more and a little more and a little more. This is called duplicity. Duplicity means when you're saying something but your intention is something. The Lord is teaching the demigods to become duplicitous. Dosti kar lo. Theek hai yaar, amrut tumko bhi milega, humko bhi. Chalo, dono milke kare. But inside the demigods are thinking, the Lord has told us, He will do. They have faith. And the demons are thinking, let the churning go, let the amrit come. Anyway, we are already powerful. We'll just push them and enjoy. Every one of the demons is thinking the same thing. And the demigods are thinking, sometimes like political parties come together just to get a vote. Two parties come together. Both are thinking, let that nectar in the form of chair come. Kissa kursi ka. Once that Amrit Dhanvantri comes with the chair, then we will show who is who. So, it is not wrong to be duplicitous. Krishnarthe akhila cheshta. Vasudev acted duplicitously with Kamsa to protect Devaki for Krishna's interest. Raghunath Das Goswami dealt duplicitously with the prison keepers for Lord Chaitanya's sake. Ramananda Rai acted a bit duplicitously with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with regard to Maharaj Pratap Rudra's case for his interest that he may get mercy. It's not wrong. It's not what you do, but why you do what you do. For whose sake? The Pandavas, the Kauravas, both were fighting. Both were shooting arrows, killing billions of people. But one is glorified, the other one is criticized. One was doing with their egoistic, selfish motive. The other had no interest in fighting, but did it simply for the pleasure and satisfaction of the Lord under the instruction of the Lord. Then they say, all right, amrutotpadane yatnaha. Both of you want amrit, right? Why they want amrit? Amrit gives three things. Number one, amrit is really tasty. In front of amrit, everything is wish. Really. The best of products. once anyone who has tasted amrit, any other, the best of drinks, will taste like poison. Amrit is really tasty, number one. Number two, it immediately restores and replenishes one's strength. And third, it gives eternal life. A long life. May not be eternal life. Long life. Who doesn't want sweet and wonderful tasty food? Who doesn't want strength? Who doesn't want a long life? But the only problem is our conception of what is amrit. For people on this planet, Earth, what is amrit? It depends which mode you are. In the mode of ignorance, for them, just sleep. Wow, amrit. Total ignorance. Sometimes people are totally drunk and fallen on the side of the road. Blissful. Why? Because they keep repeating it every day. Somehow the mode convinces them. That is amrit. No conception of time. So practically eternity. Ignorant. Covered over. In the mode of passion, money is sweeter than honey. Amrutotpadane yatna. Tremendously you have to struggle to earn, to maintain, and while spending. Tremendous endeavor, mental endeavor you have to make. That is amrit. And for that, people are ready to give their life. Why? Why it is amrit? Why money is sweeter than honey? As once I think Gaurang Prabhu very nicely said, honey only satisfies your tongue. You can't pour honey in your ear unless an Ayurvedic doctor recommends for some reason. But money can purchase objects or things that are satisfying to all the five senses. Therefore, money is sweeter than honey. For people in the mode of goodness, maybe a visit to a beautiful natural forest, amrit for the eyes, or nice fresh fruit juice. Ah, amrit. Good enough. That's all. Mulla ki daud masjid tak. We think of amrit only this here itself. That's all. But then, the heavenly planets, they are giving their whole energy. They are striking a truce with their enemies just to get this amrit. Because it is a fact. It is the tastiest fluid, liquid, really nectar. And it's immediately going to energize and bring practically a dead man alive. And thirdly, it gives you a long life. But even this amrit doesn't relieve you from anxiety. Even though you're living a long time, Indra and all the demigods drink it every day. But when the demigods saw the cowherd boys entering the mouth of Aghasur, they were tremendous anxiety. But the cowherd boys had no anxiety, even though they were entering the mouth of Aghasur, because they knew. Because they were drinking another nectar. Krishna Amrita. They were drinking Krishna's beautiful form. And for us, what is Amrita? For devotees of the Lord, I won't say us because I'm not yet convinced that this is real amrit. We have our own attachments to so many other amrit. But real amrit is Nama Amrita. This amrit is the tastiest. Rupa Goswami says, I wish I had billions of ears, trillions of tongue. How much nectar is contained in these two syllables? Krishna. And it's truly going to revive our, we are dead body flapping around for some time right now. But devotional service beginning with hearing and chanting the holy name actually gives us life, makes us fearless, Because Parikshit Maharaj was drinking Krishna Kathamrita from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, even though that Takshaka was about to come, Parikshit told Shukadeva Goswami, "Oh, my dear Goswamiji, simply go on chanting Harikathamrita. Let whatever Takshaka has to come, come and do. Let him do his business. You do your business of speaking. I will do my business of hearing. Because now that I am drinking the Amrit of Krishna's beautiful name, form, qualities, pastimes and abode, etc., I have no consideration or no care for whatever that thing has to happen. Let it happen. Let the influence of time and karma come and bite. Let it go on. Continue to chant the glories of the Lord." Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrit, he says, "Paramam Amritam Idam Jivanam Bhushanam Me." Glorifying the holy name in the very beginning, he says, "Paramam Amritam." It is the highest nectar available in the whole creation. There is nothing sweeter, tastier, and glorious than this Paramam Amritam. The highest. Naam bina kichu nahi go ara chauda bhuvana maache. And that is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute to us. So, Paramam Amritam, Jivanam. Sanatana Goswami says, actually this holy name is my life. Which means, without holy name, I'll die. What is the use of this tongue? What is the use of this ear? What is the use of my life energy if I don't use it to taste this Amrit? I would rather be dead than be alive and not taste this Paramam Amritam. Jivanam and Bhushanam. This is my only ornament. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, in 1999, he gave this class on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And at that time he was talking about, please think about this. He was saying, Sanatana Goswami says, holy name is my Bhushanam. Bhushanam means ornament. Generally, we want to decorate our body with the best ornaments. In a most prominent place, on the head, or somewhere on the face or on the neck, put it in a very prominent place, which is very conspicuous. And most of the time, we become very attached to these ornaments. He was telling how today people are so much attached to anything that is imported from America. Or what to speak if it is from Japan. But this is Golokera Premadhana, imported from the spiritual world. Chintamani. If it touches the dead body, it makes it alive. Jivana Mukta. Ihayasya Harardasya Karmana Manasa Gira. Nikhila Shwapi Avasthasu Jivan Mukta Sauchyate. In this very lifetime, it will make you eternal. It gives you so much energy, life. And anyone who has tasted this will not trade it for anything in this creation. Of course, we speak it theoretically, but none of us, at least for my sake, for my side, I can say. And this is freely being distributed to all of us. This is real Amrit. But Amritotpadane Yatnaha. Tremendous endeavor. They have to fight a battle. Make truce. Churn. It's not easy. They lost their life. Somebody lost their hands and legs and all that. Again, the Lord had to come and help and help and help. Every stage, the Lord had to help before they got actually their Amrit. So, Amritotpadane Yatnaha. But he says, Kriyatam Avilambitam. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it for tomorrow. Avilambitam. Now you have understood. Right now you start. Kal kare so aaj kar, aaj kare so ab. Start it today. Don't postpone it for next year, next month, next week, tomorrow. Avilambitam. This is Maya. Postpone it. Something is more important. Postpone it. Postpone it. Postpone it. And what does a devotee do? He tells Maya, no, I will listen to you tomorrow. That was Haridas Thakur, who was actually tasting nectar. Maya Devi came, offered a proposal. And Haridas said, yes, surely I will fulfill your desire. But let me finish my rounds. As soon as I finish my rounds, because she said, you are Vanchakalpataru, fulfiller of all desire, and my desire is to have union with you. You should fulfill everyone's desire, you should fulfill. I said, yeah, sure. But sit here. I just finished my rounds and tomorrow. In 3 days, she realized your chanting never ends. Because you are tasting so much nectar. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Ultimately, she surrendered. She said, I have been given initiation into the holy name of Lord Ram by my husband, Lord Shiva, which is Taraka Brahma, giver of liberation. But now, my dear Haridas, hearing this particular name of Krishna, which is Premanam, I am so much attracted. Please initiate me into this name. And Haridas Thakur actually initiated her. She came to initiate him into his parampara, her parampara. He said, yes, very soon. Tomorrow. He said, avilambitam. This cannot be postponed for anything else. Then the Lord says, yasya pitasya vai jantur mrityu grasto amaro bhavet. Yasya pitasya vai jantur. Anyone who drinks this amrita, mrityu grasta, death is actually catching hold of us by the neck. But amaro bhavet, such a person becomes eternal. Then you may say, thank you very much, Prabhuji, for a nice Bhagavatam class. Where is this available? Which market? Kalba Devi? How much is the kilo? I want to buy this. Where is this? Amrita. He says, Kshirodadhav. The Lord said, go to the ocean of milk. There you have to do the churning. So where is this Amrita? Actually, it is in the ocean of our heart. Which is within our heart. Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Bhakti Rasa Amrita. This Amrita, the whole ocean is there within our heart. Nama Chintamani Krishna. Actually, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Premamrita. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai. It is there within our own heart. But right now, we just have to churn it out and extract it, which is a lot of endeavor. So he says, go to the ocean of milk and throw there 4 things. Viru, Trina, Lata, Aushadhi. He says, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers and drugs. If you add to water or milk, some all these ingredients and then you churn it and boil it, it becomes kashaya, very healthy drink. So you have to put viru, trina, lata, aushadhi, creepers, vegetables, grass, drugs. So we were discussing, what are these 4 things that we have to put in this heart? We can't put drugs from the ear and into the heart. And you know, what are these 4 ingredients? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told us, what are these 4 ingredients? Trinadapi sunichena. Trina is there. Taru is also there. Tree is also there. Taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena. These 4 things, humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all respect for oneself, offering all respects to others. This consciousness makes the heart most conducive to begin churning. As long as this big ego is there, which makes the heart so hard, you can't churn it. So Mahaprabhu's ingredient is make it soft, make it conducive, favorable by developing these 4 qualities. And then he says, manthanam mandaram kritva, after throwing all these ingredients, get the churning rod. Now, what is the churning rod? Actually, the churning rod is the holy name. Manastrayate iti mantra. I'm sure any of you chant, you have experienced the first installment is a lot of churning takes place within the heart. Mantra is churning of the heart. So the churning stick, Mandara mountain, it was so difficult, even the demons and demigods put together could not bring it. Ultimately, he says, Sahayena Maya Deva. Oh demigods, you can't bring it yourself. By my help, Sahayena Maya Deva, I will bring it and place it in the ocean. Similarly, Mahaprabhu says, Enechi Aushadhi Maya Nashivara Lagi. I have brought it for you. You don't have to go in search of it. Here it is, take it. Imported. I have brought it from the spiritual world and I am giving you. Take this rod and start churning. But then how can you hold a mountain and move it? You need a netram kritva tu vasukim. You need a churning rope to actually start churning. See, Mother Yashoda is doing it. What is this churning rod? My philosophical speculation. Our instruction to chant 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Then start the churning. So the 16 round basic minimum. Otherwise the butter will never come out. Minimum. Why? Because the great acharyas, by the help of the Lord, through the parampara, it has been given to us. That 16 has suddenly become magical number. Why? Because the Lord has said that. That's all. If he had said some other number, then it would have been. And then he says, Nirmanthadvam atandritaha. But you do it very attentively. He's telling this churning should be done very attentively. One should not be neglectful. Klesha bhajo bhavishyanti daitya yuyam phalagraha. All the demons will simply struggle. They won't get anything. You will get the nectar. Krishna is promising this. Who is our enemy in the chanting process? It's the mind. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo. You have to somehow befriend the mind. Make a truce with the mind. Fall at the feet of the mind. Beat the mind. Do whatever is necessary. But somehow make friendship with the mind. Because it is the mind. Bandhura atma atmanastasya yenatma ivatmana jitaha. A friend, if he becomes a friend, he's the best to churn out this nectar. If he becomes your enemy, not possible at all. So to make it atandritaha, chant attentively, somehow make your mind your friend. And then the Lord says, my dear demigods, with patience and peace, everything can be done. But if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal. The mind is like a child. I want this. Okay, theek hai, baad mein. Sit now. Like kids. Actually, the mind is coming from the mode of goodness. False ego in the mode of goodness is mind. And false ego transformed in the mode of passion is intelligence. This is another very beautiful analysis. In third canto, it is given. We don't have much time, but maybe another class we can discuss. It's a beautiful. I strongly recommend all of you to read this book, Japa, by Burijan Prabhu. It's there in the stall. Few copies are there. You must read this. 35 years of his struggle with the holy name. He's not discovered any technique or anything. It is simple. Just hear the holy name. And there are 5-6 chapters dealing with the mind. Why is mind? Actually, the mind is the grossest of the subtle body. The mind's function is very simple. It knows only binary, like computer language. 0, 1, 0, 1. It knows only one thing. I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't. That's all. Sankalpa, vikalpa. It is very simple. It's not as simple as we think. We have made it complicated. The subtle body consists of the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and the material consciousness. Four things Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described. Lord Kapila describes. It's all there in that book. The subtlest of these is the false consciousness, chetaha, chitta. Next is false ego, ahankar. Then is the intelligence. And then is the mind. They are all one actually, four in one. And they are responsible for us getting birth after birth after birth. What is the mind's function? The mind is the security guard of the false ego. It has been told, don't allow. We have also told our security. Very embarrassing actually to check all the Vaishnavas whether they are carrying bombs. Actually, it's very, very painful. I don't even like to see. How can Vaishnava? They are carrying Harinam bomb. That's all. Anyway, but what to do? So, where were we? I forgot. Yeah, it's a security. Mind is the security guard of the false ego. And the false ego has instructed the mind. Tera ek hi kaam hai. You have only one job, okay? Anything who hurts me, you have to shoot that. He is your enemy. Anyone who shoots me or anyone who hurts me, you should shoot him down. And anyone who praises me is my friend. Allow him. The mind only knows these two functions. Since time immemorial, it is the most obedient servant of the false ego. And he has got many other security chelas. One of them is the intelligence. So just when you sit to chant the holy name, the real ego wants to taste the nectar of Krishna Naam. But the false ego will lose its power over the whole thing if you taste the holy name. Immediately the false ego tells the mind, hey, Dushman aa gaya. The intelligence starts planning. By hook or by crook. One kind of planning that goes on is, yeah, what an amazing chanter you are. Really, I think in this whole congregation, you are the only good chanter. After all, chanting is the essence. I think after Haridas Thakur, you will be put in the next part of, you know, edition of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Mahaprabhu's Leela will go for next 10,000 years. Gone, very good. And by the way, instead of 16 now, from tomorrow you start 17 and a half. Maybe 25. Look at them. All are sleeping. You are the real chanter. So if you chant well, the mind somehow distracts you from tasting the holy name by praising you, pampering the ego. Or when you don't want it, he starts planning. This fellow is planning. This is why you are not able to chant. This fellow is your enemy. Immediately after japa, take this mala, strangle him around his neck and pull it actually. The moment the intelligence takes over, the mode of passion begins. Mind is in the mode of goodness. And therefore, what Bhurijan Prabhu recommends is, please don't think about the future mantra. Forget about the rounds. Future mantra. Don't think about the previous mantra. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma na shochati na kangshati. Don't lament for the previous mantra which was not chanted properly. Don't lament or don't hanker for good chanting of the 16. Forget that 16 rounds. One mantra. Finish. You're chanting now. Taste it. You and Krishna. Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Taste him. That's all. Actually, it is a fact. I tried it for a few seconds. You will actually not know the presence of time. Nimeshardhakchova vrajate nahi atrapi samaya. You will not experience when that 16 got finished. So much nectar. I am speaking so that tomorrow you will watch me. Prabhuji ne bola dekhenge kaisa karte. That will make me chant properly, hopefully. I am not tasting it, but I would like to share so that simply, you know, maybe I can. But the fact is this. The mind, the cheating is wonderful. Next five mantras, super mantras, or five rounds, super rounds. Not necessary. Forget about it. The moment you think about the future, planning of the intelligence starts. 1.5 hours and 10 rounds. 1.5 hour, 10 rounds. 1 round is equal to 1.5 hour by 10 is equal to 7.5 minutes. 7.5 minutes. That's too much. I think maybe I should increase it there. Increase that. Something will start. Or, hey, planning all this, you know, past was gone. You could have chanted that mantra better. 50% of the time goes in lamenting for the past mantras and 50% for planning the future nice mantras. And therefore, the current is never experienced. Vartamananam is never experienced. The current, Krishna is directly dancing on our tongue and we are planning the future and thinking of the past and we are neglecting the Lord who is actually there sitting with us. Forget about the future. If you sometimes people say, no, it takes a very long time. Don't worry. Even if it is whatever few minutes that you're chanting, just focus that. And I strongly suggest you to read that book. 35 years of his practice. And he's quoting Prabhupada for the first time, very beautifully, analytically exposing the mind, making it stand naked in front of you. This is the mind. Don't get cheated by this mind. Actually, this mind is your friend, but he is bewildered by false ego, association with his false ego. And what is false ego? It doesn't want you to remind you who you are. Servant of Krishna. Srimati Mataji had come many few months ago or a year ago from Vrindavan. She did a seminar. And she said, before chanting, you think of Jesus' two mantras. Before chanting, who you are and why are you chanting? Who you are. Chaitanyara das mui, chaitanyara das, chaitanyara das mui, tar dasir das. Or gopi bhartur padakamali or das dasan. I'm not a housewife, I'm not a mom, I'm not a father, I'm not this businessman, I'm not this. Because the moment you have a role, a false ego, immediately you have goals to be achieved in the role. The moment you think I'm a mother, oh, the child may be crying, I don't know, this is there and that is there. If you think you're a businessman, the whole business agenda will come. At least during the time of chanting, recognize you are not this body. You're not any of these designations, which are all temporary. Victory, defeat will come for this body. Forget it. At least this time, please remember, you are simply the servant of the servant of the servant. You are this pure Satchidananda, tiny part and parcel of Krishna. So this is the first mantra. Identify. First of all, know who you are. My eternal role. Jivar Swarupaya Krishna Nityadas. Mamayvamsho Jivaloke Jivuta Sana. This is my Sanatana designation. And in this role, what is the goal? In every role, you have the goal to be achieved. What is the goal? Prem Dhana. Mahaprabhu said this in explaining Shikshastakam in the last part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Practically the last few verses. Prem dhana bina vyartha daridra jivan. Dasakari vetan more deha prema dhan. The only goal of life is prema pumartho mahan. What is the use of conquering the whole world if you did not achieve a drop of prema for Krishna? Love of God. Prem dhana bina vyartha. Our whole life, even chanting, of course it's not a waste, obviously. But it is all a waste because at the end of your life, if you did not develop even a drop of prema. Shramayevahi kevalam dharma swanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyah na utpadayet yadi ratim shramayevahi kevalam. It is simply a waste of labor if you did not develop love for Krishna. So prem dhana bina, at the end of life, if you did not have the wealth of Krishna prema, prem dhana bina, vyartha and daridra jeevan. Daridra means poverty stricken life. What is the use if you are a billionaire or emperor of the whole planet or the whole universe like Hiranyakashipu? Because everything will be finished eventually. You will be defeated. You will, from dust you have come, unto dust you will go. Except you take Vrindavan dust. So, daridra jeevan, poverty stricken life. Therefore, dasakari vetan more. My Lord, I'm doing this. In return, I ask only one vetan. Pagar, what do you mean? Salary. Dasakari vetan more deha premdhan. I just want only one salary. And that salary is a drop of love for you. Only this much. Actually, this drop can drown the whole universe. Truly. One of our devotees from Russia, you know, Patri Prabhu. A dynamic person. He came and he was telling, sometimes great, you know, sometimes we drink Charanamrit here, Guru Puja, they're giving Charanamrit. And sometimes just one drop falls. And if there is an ant going underneath, and if the drop falls on the ant, he is drowned to death. For us, it is just one drop, it slipped off while drinking. But for the ant, he is drowned. Similarly, the great devotees of the Lord are drinking constant nectar of the name, form, quality, past. Shukadev Goswami is drinking while he's speaking. These are the few drops which have spilled out, actually. He's 24 hours, 365 days for the rest of his eternity. He was always glorifying the Lord and remembering. Only for 7 days because Parikshit Maharaj stably showed some interest. Few drops spilled out. And that is enough to drown all of us since 5,000 years. This is actually nectar. Pure nectar. And Prabhupada's purport has added it more. Even if it is too concentrate, which we can't digest at this stage, you know, he adds it just enough. Just like, you know, for mother, child can't drink. So they make it just like enough for the child to actually easy to digest. Even though these slokas are concentrated nectar, and Prabhupada knows we are two kids, you know, we'll have indigestion. Concentrated nectar. We can't drink Bhagavatam. His purports are little added, enough water to make it dilute so that we can drink and digest. It's pure nectar. But why are we in a relishing? Because somehow we are not attentive. Somehow we have allowed the mind to just go around. Says it doesn't matter. Just take one mantra. That is his mantra. Just one mantra. Forget about the next mantra. Forget about the past mantra. One mantra. And once the mind tastes it, param drishtva nivartate, then you can't be happy with this the rounds that we have been doing so far, if we have not been doing. Of course, one should not get discouraged. Again, that's another thing of the mind, to be frustrated, I can't do it, you know. No lamentation. That's another trick of the mind again. Just go on. If you fall down, get up and walk. Sometimes some kids fall down. They keep crying till the mother comes and picks. The other children fall and cry. But nobody sees, gets up and still start walking. It doesn't matter. One round, one day gone from tomorrow. No problem. Start wherever. Better late than never. And finally, the Lord says, so with patience and peace, one should not become restless. Utsahat nishchayat dhairya. And then finally, the Lord warns in advance, in this battle against the false ego and the mind, a poison known as Kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. This Kalakuta will be millions of thoughts of the past, ugly thoughts, detestable thoughts, embarrassing thoughts for a Vaishnava that we are aspiring to become. Such dirty, filthy, impressions that we have gathered since time immemorial will ugly bring its ugly face out. Poisonous, obnoxious. Do not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry. Don't be angry that your enemy got something that you didn't get. Arey, main jab kar raha hu par mila usko. Looks like he is stealing away my by hearing properly. Whatever. Or wonderful facilities will come. It's a fact. It's a fact. Wherever you lay your hand, that will turn into gold. Krishna may empower our words to attract praises, worship, distinction, honor, or position, or in terms of whatever. Therefore, Mahaprabhu has already told us, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Because he knows, first installment of churning is, durdaivam idrisham iha janina anuragaha. This is the poison, durdaivam. Itna ghis raha hu, sirf kala kala nikal raha hai, dhuha kuch nikla nahi. Itna, churning and churning and big poison soot is coming out. Durdaivam. Actually, it is to make us humble. Realize you can't do it. It's the Lord's grace. Cry out. Beg for the holy name. We have to become beggars, as Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in his wonderful series called The Beggar is simply beggars. So when we cry out of humility, then all this ego will go away. Then benefits will start coming. Lakshmiji will come. Airavat will come. Uccheshava, the horse, will come. So many things will come. Nadhanam. Just like sometimes, you know, children. When I was in fourth standard or something, we had a poem in Kannada. That was a mother is doing some housework and suddenly the child starts crying. And crying and crying and crying, non-stop crying. So the mother wants to give some sweets, some toys. And somebody comes, this comes. So many things she tries to give. Ultimately, she just picks up the child and embraces and just kisses him. Immediately, the child becomes pacified and satisfied. Why was the child crying? I want you, my mother. I don't want the sweet. I don't want this. Don't try to hang this carrot in front of me. I don't want all of this. I am chanting because I'm crying because I want you. Until and unless you come and embrace me, I am not going to stop. So similarly, Mahaprabhu has given the mantra, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Chahiye? Dhanam chahiye? Janam chahiye? Itna Hare Krishna kara, yele. Yele. You get a lot of money. Business is flourishing. Hari bol, next life I will chant now. I have enough to last for 7 generations. Now, Janam, you have enough followers, praise givers, to puff up your false ego. Your false ego is happy. Hari bol, bye-bye. Don't trouble me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Maybe because I know what you ask for. You're chanting the holy name, but you want all of this. Okay, take it and get out. But they say, no, I don't want all of this. I want you, my Lord. So in this way, very beautifully, through this beautiful pastime of Samudra Manthan, the Lord has already told what this battle is going to involve, what will be the things that will be coming out, what will be the advantages, disadvantages, who will be our enemies. Everything is given. And now the detail. In spite of the fact of knowing all this, still we become angry, become despondent, frustrated, disappointed, because we have no faith in this word of the Lord. He was already foretold what's going to happen and given us enough warning what to avoid and what to always stick on to. Anukulya sankalpo pratikulya. Be peaceful, Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated. Don't get disappointed. That's the nature of this world. Dualities will always exist to pamper or frustrate the false ego. Don't let the mind be attached to the dualities of the world. Nistraigunyo bhavarjuna. The only way to overcome these three modes of nature, that's why he says, mamchayo avyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati deityan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So it's a wonderful pastime. We can read and equip ourselves. Please do read this book, Japa. 9 keys extracted from the few verses of Shikshashtakam prayers by Bhurijan Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Nithai Gaur Premanandi.